Well, Senator Jacqui Lambie's threat to pass the government's ensuring integrity bill is increasing pressure on Victorian CFMEU boss John Setka to resign. Labor and the ACTU say he should go for the sake of the union movement, but only John Setka's members have the power to make that happen. Tony Burke is the manager of opposition business in the House of Representatives and the shadow minister for industrial relations. I spoke to him a little earlier and I began by asking him what he makes of Jacqui Lambie's ultimatum on John Setka.
Oh, Jacqui Lambie, I don't think anyone's surprised that she takes very strong views. She's got strong opinions. It's a matter for her how she wants to vote. For me, I view the bill very much on the issue of its merits.
Okay, but if John Setka refuses to resign and the Ensuring Integrity Bill passes, how do you think he'll be remembered within the union movement, given he appears now to be basically causing its potential success? He's leading to its success, according to Jacqui Lambie.
Well, I don't think Jackie's bluffing, let me put it that way. And it's also my view that the potential impact of this bill on the whole trade union movement is disastrous. It is deliberately an anti-union bill designed to make it as difficult as possible for workers to be able to organise. That's what the government's done, that's why it's there, and if it ends up going through, its impact will be way beyond one person in one union.
But will he be responsible?
Oh, look, the concept of him acting responsibly, I think we're a long way from. It's going to be a matter for him to decide whether or not he thinks he's bigger than the rest of the union movement. There are a whole lot of workers and a whole lot of organisers with a lot at stake here. But as I say, I'm not encouraging Jacqui Lambie to vote for these reasons. I want her to oppose the bill because, on merit, it's a bad piece of legislation.
The federal court threw out John Setka's attempt to block the ALP from expelling him. You're waiting to see if he appeals that judgment. How long has he got? How long is this going to last?
We're making sure that we follow all the legal processes. I'm not a member of the National Executive. Anthony Albanese has made it absolutely clear where he believes this will end. That's where I think it'll end as well. Ultimately, when you've got somebody who doesn't represent the values of your party, then in the long term, or even in the medium term, they don't end up a member. Let's not forget, as far as the Labor Party's concerned, he's already suspended. So he's already gone. He's already in a situation that he can't play any role. So, you know, if the courts ask us to wait for different processes, then we go according to what the rule of law says. It doesn't actually make a difference because he's already suspended and is playing absolutely no role in the Labor Party.
Mark Butler, the Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy and also a former ALP president, is calling for a ruthlessly unsparing review of all the Labor policies, including in his own portfolio. But the current president, Wayne Swan, says Labor should hold the line on climate change and economic policy. What do you think?
Look, Mark's put it pretty colourfully today and Wayne put his view very forcefully on the weekend. We need to make sure we learn the right lessons from the election campaign. You know, one of the dangers after an election defeat is the party that loses, you end up thinking, okay, they did everything that they did must be wrong, and everything that the winning party did must be right. Now, of course, elections aren't quite that binary. They're not that simple. And you need to make sure that you learn the right lessons from a federal election. I agree with Mark Butler. The review shouldn't feel it needs to do particular favours to any policy area. The review should be ruthless. The review should be making sure it goes through every aspect of the campaign to make sure not just that Labor hears the message we were given by the Australian people, but we hear the correct messages from the Australian people. Now, I've spoken of that review. I've participated in my own way. Everyone's very passionate about a range of different policies. But notwithstanding that, you need to make sure you've heard what the Australian people have said.
Do you see the election result as a narrow loss, as Wayne Swan argued, or did Labor have its backside handed to it, as Mark Butler said today?
Look, in terms of the numbers in the Parliament, the numbers in the Parliament haven't shifted very much. Malcolm Turnbull at the previous election won 76 out of 150. Scott Morrison has just won 77 out of 151. That said, there were a number of seats that used to have relatively close margins that have gone a long way from us in the last election. So it's an election that all the speculation was we were going to fall over the line. Some of the speculation was that we were going to romp home. Obviously, that didn't happen. And you know, in terms of number of seats, it wasn't a whole lot of change. In terms of total margin, not nearly as many people voted Labor as we need to.
Your colleague Michelle Rowland says policies were produced in a vacuum, including Labor's reproductive health policy, which she thinks cost votes amongst people of faith. Is she right there?
Oh, there's no doubt that there was a particular social media campaign around that policy. I've got one of the electorates with, you know, some of the highest levels of religious practice in Australia. And while, you know, I had a 4% swing away from Labor, let's not overstate the fact that the majority of people of faith were still voting for us. So this is where I say we need to hear the right lessons from all of this. And, you know, that's one of the policies that the review will look at, I'm sure.
Will Labor oppose the government's plans to drug test people on Newstart?
In terms of, you know, we need a piece of legislation before we adopt a formal position, but there's a few principles on this that Linda Burney's made very clear. First of all, this has been tested overseas and has failed. Secondly, you know, the biggest group of people on Newstart is the over 55s. Yeah, are we seriously saying that we're going to have a situation where we take a whole series of individuals who are, you know, desperately looking for work, trying to get themselves back into the workforce, but in many ways have the deck stacked against them, and we're going to ask them to urinate into a cup, have their hair plucked, or get them to spit into a jar? Yeah, this is one of the examples of where Scott Morrison wants to look for what's the political play, what's his test for Labor, what's the political wedge. This policy won't create one job. Not one job will be created by this. And at a time where we're having the slowest economic growth in a decade, you've really got to wonder why we have a Prime Minister who's more focused on political games and what he thinks might be, you know, a fun little test for Labor than policies that will actually create work and change people's lives.
Why is the dignity of someone over 55 more important than a young person's dignity?
No. I just think it's important when you talk about Newstart to be able to make sure we understand what a whole range of people affected here, who we're talking about. The media portrayal of people on Newstart is often as though people are exclusively young. And that's why I think it's important to make the case that the largest cohort is the over 55s. There's been a 45% increase in that cohort. And it's just a description of the individuals we're talking about. That's all. It's not to say you don't have similar issues for young people.
So could anything get you over the line on this legislation if the government did invest, for rehabilitation?
Yeah, well, first of all, they're the government. It's for them to come forward with a proposal, to put it into legislation and to put it to us. It's not for us to retrofit and design it where all they've come forward is a thought bubble.
Senator Lambie says politicians and public servants should also be drug tested. Do you think that's a good idea?
It's, you may find a whole lot of vitamin B tablets or something like that in some of us. I'm not sure. This whole thing of presuming that any group of people is somehow constantly, you know, behaving in this way, I just don't think it's helpful. I don't think it's accurate. I don't think it's accurate of people who work in this building, whether it's media or politicians. I don't think it's accurate of people who are on Newstart.
So does that mean you don't think politicians should be drug tested?
I'm not in favour of doing that for any of the areas. I mean, I think Jackie Lambie, let's be fair, she hasn't come forward with this as a policy. She's come forward as it to expose the hypocrisy of what the government's saying.
The government is reintroducing legislation that would toughen federal penalties for people convicted of child sex offences. Labor opposes mandatory sentencing. Will you oppose this bill?
Well, let's make clear what the government's doing, because I reckon this one's pretty horrific, I have to say. We are dealing with responses to the Royal Commission established by Julia Gillard into institutional child sexual abuse. If there was ever an issue where we should not be playing political games, this one's it. I mean, really. You know, when Scott Morrison says, oh, he wants to find a test for Labor, He wants to choose child sexual abuse as a political game. Really?
Okay, but yes, there's no evidence objection. There's a game.
I'm going to continue. And on the reason for our objection to mandatory sentencing is really simple. It often results in people who would otherwise be found guilty getting off scot-free if a judge or a jury form a view that the mandatory penalty is inappropriate given all the circumstances of the offence. And, you know, that's the challenge on any of this. Now, obviously, when these issues have come forward in the House of Representatives, we've made clear, we've voted for them, we've sent them to the Senate, and the Senate inquiry works out whether or not there's ways of amending. But the principle here is something that we are going to get a lot this term because our amendments are rarely successful, where in the one vote, we are voting for something we support and something that we think could be done better. Now, obviously, without, you know, going through them in detail, these are the sorts of offences where we will believe they should be viewed as the most serious, sinister offences. And then the next question is, well, does that mean you vote against it because you think the sentencing could be done a better way? Well, when it came to the House of Representatives on these issues, we supported the bill as a whole. It doesn't change the fact that we think it would be far more effective if we had maximum sentences rather than mandatory. It's just more effective. You get more convictions that way.
So we may see the same thing we've seen before from Labor, which is you'll push for your amendments, you'll make the argument, but ultimately vote for the legislation.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get in advance of Senate inquiries and the whole processes, but it will often be the case that when we are forced to look at a bill and say, well, look, are we better off having it as a whole or not? We'll say it's better off having, even though we think there are aspects of it that we could amend.
Tony Burke, thanks for coming on.
Good to chat. See ya.
That's Tony Burke. He's the manager of opposition business in the House of Representatives and the Shadow Minister for Industrial Relations. This is RN Drive 0418 226 576 is our text line.